This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. Hour number three, TK and Tierney coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's Wednesday. Many of you on the East Coast getting in the car, getting ready to drive home. We got you for the next hour or so. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and Sirius XM 206. Those in the middle of the country or on the left coast, the west coast, obviously different parts of the day. Maybe going out getting a little lunch and getting ready to watch some hoops tonight. 9 Eastern, Game 3, NBA Finals at Oracle. The Raptors, 4.5-point dogs. I mean, they're getting the number shrinking, but they're still almost 5-point dogs for a team that's really banged up. No word on Klay Thompson yet. We'll get back to that. Tiki and I will finish the show with that. Really cool. We get back to baseball. We're going to be joined by Jonathan Scope of the Twins in a second. I saw something really cool because I like to see if anybody from my high school or my high school league, anybody got drafted from Marist, obviously. So I'm scouring like the 32, 33, 34 round. The Blue Jays just drafted Roy Halladay's son.
Oh, that's cool.
In the 32nd round.
That's great.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them. And hopefully he moves up a couple of the rungs and maybe makes it to the show. We'll see. All right, listen, this team is good. I mean, if you're not counting the Twins as a team with a chance to do something, you don't know baseball. They mesh, and their staff is pretty good. And they're rolling 10.5 up on the Indians. And their second baseman is with us now, Jonathan Scope. First chunk of his career with the Orioles, a power-hitting second baseman. Then he went to the Brewers for a minute, and now he seemingly has found a home, and he's with us here, or another home, on Tiki and Tierney. Jonathan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, I really, and Tiki liked you guys, too. I remember I said that we made our preseason predictions. I had the Twins as a wild card. I knew you guys would be good, but to sit here and look a 10.5-game lead on the Indians, who have really been terrific the last couple of years. When you guys assembled for spring training, some new pieces, some new parts, did you guys think you would be this good this fast?
Like spring training, we know we got a talent, so we know we got a talent. We have a really good group of guys, and then they brought me and Harrison, Crow, Barway, and some guys together, and we know we good, but we, like you say, we didn't know we can do it right away, so, it's fun.
You know, it's interesting, Jonathan, because like in 2017, it was a surprise season for you guys. You made the postseason, and everybody, was lauding Paul Molitor. And obviously, we know what happened the year after that. It was a disappointing sub-500 team. He gets fired, and then Rocco Baldelli comes in, and we're seeing this I don't want to say it was miraculous because maybe it was already there. But what changed? Because it feels like you guys are perennially here, even though this is really only your first one of dominating like this. What changed?
Yeah. Rocco came in with a new style, and everybody, the group is really good guys, some good young guys and some veteran guys. Everybody likes to be around each other, everybody want to come to work and have fun. So, if you come to work and you want to work with the guys and you like the guys around you, of course you're going to play better. You want to be around them every day, we go out there and we fight for each other, and if you cannot do the job, the other guy going to try his best to do it for you. So, everybody cheering for everybody, and everybody likes to see everybody have a success. So I love to see other guys have success, and I know they love when I have a success. So that's why so far, we're really good and trying to keep it up.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to come to work when it's basically, it's like home run derby, like we used to play when we were kids playing wiffle ball. I mean, every night it's a mash job. You guys are first in runs, first in home runs, first in average. I guess my question is this, and playing in the American League East for as long as you did, obviously going up against terrific Yankee teams, terrific Red Sox teams, and, some intermittently very good Rays teams as well. My only fear, not even fear, my only question about your team right now, can you manufacture the run? Because as we know, Jonathan, you get to October and you guys will be playing in the playoffs. When you get there, you're facing aces, whether it's Verlander or Chris Sale gets his act together, Severino gets healthy, whomever. You're not going to hit six home runs off these guys if they have their A-plus stuff. Can you manufacture enough runs, this Twins team?
Yeah, of course. We see already, you know, we match home runs, but I see that we score, you know, move the runners over, you know, second try. Then we can bunt, too. You know, we had the home runs, I know, but we can bunt. I know for a fact we can bunt. But, you know, that time, right now, we don't have fun. But but I see we score some runs, you know, with moving runners, you know, and do the little things. And playoffs, you need it.
Yeah, you know.
Playoffs, you need it. So, you know, I know for a fact that we can do it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that you guys could bunt and you got to, you know, play small ball in a sense. But it feels like, if for a lot of baseball teams, I should say, that's just, it's not even in the window. You see the shift every night because guys are just swinging for the fences. How have you guys embraced, I guess, an old school way of doing that? Because you want to hit home runs because you can hit home runs, but isn't it like an ego, knock if you're bunting and get on base?
I don't think it's an ego. You know, I think if you're not doing really good, you bunt, you get a hit, you know, your confidence is going to go up.
But yeah.
I think we confidence is up already. That's why we just, you know, taking what they give us. You know, I think we beat the shift sometimes too, but it's not we want to, but we just want to hit the ball hard. You know, we want to hit the ball hard. I don't think we're going to step in there to hit home run. You know, we got the power, but we just step in there and look at the damage, you know, try to shoot a gap and hit the ball hard. And if it go out, it go out. You know, we're not flying there to go deep. You know, we just go in there and get a good approach, and if they throw in the strike zone, we put a good swing on it.
Yeah, it's the old Serrano theory, Joe Boo. Just see it and hit it, right, man? I mean,
yeah, hit it. Exactly. Whatever you go, you know.
Yeah,
from right to line.
No doubt. We're talking to Jonathan Scope, second baseman, power-hitting second baseman. And you came up, you were really young. What were you, 21 when you made your debut? Something 21, right?
Yeah, I was 21 here.
Wow. And it's crazy to see the Orioles and, you know, the attendance is down. And there's some, I think, apathy, you know, is kind of settled into Baltimore. Right now, they're obviously rebuilding and they're taking their lumps. But Minnesota's the complete opposite, man. I mean, this is almost like Minnesota when the Metrodome was there. When I was a kid, Kirby Puckett and Kent Herbeck, and those teams were phenomenal. Gary Gaetti, the city of Minnesota, they're really behind this baseball team, right?
Yeah, they are. You know, like I think that's what I'm saying. On the Monday and Tuesday, we sell out. They are. You know, it's fun to play like that too. Fun to show up to work and see their fans behind you and put a show for them.
Well, listen, man, you guys are rolling. We're showing this on TV. First in all the stats, if you watch the Simulcast, really basically first in everything you can muster up.
You're right, including in the division. And BT mentioned this earlier, Jonathan, 10.5 games.
10.5 up on
above,
the Indians.
Above the Cleveland Indians. How do you guys not get complacent? Right, because it feels easy, right? It's not going to be easy over 162 games, but it feels easy for you guys right now because you're hitting so many home runs, and you know the Indians are middling right now at 500. How do you not get complacent with this success that you found so early?
Yeah, you know, I think you know our bench is really good. You know what I mean? If you shift from 1 to 13, you know, like we rotate a lot. You know, like everybody gets days off and stuff, and whatever lineup you ride, you roll in there. It's going to do the job, you know. But I mean, this team is that good that from 1 to 13 is good. You know, you have to run the same guys out there. You know, you can rotate and everybody contribute, you know. And this team is really good, but we're not, you know, we just take it day by day. You know, day by day, you know, I know we're winning a lot, but just trying to win today. And if not, you know, forget about it and come back tomorrow and try to win again.
Oh, boy, you make it sound so simple for a pretty complex game, but it really is. Even guys like Kepler, we didn't mention Max Kepler, Crone, your first baseman, up and down the lineup, a lot of tough outs, and you're right in the middle of it. So good to have you on the show. I know we tried to get you on last hour. We appreciate you calling us back and making it happen. Keep mashing. Jonathan Scope, I know you get some all-star votes, and I'm sure the Twins will be well represented at the Midsummer Classic. Thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having us.
Yep, you got it, man.
Be good, Jonathan.
You know what's interesting, too? You know, we don't talk much about Rocco Baldelli. We still almost, you know, when it comes up, we still kind of reference Paul Molitor.
You're right. You kind of forget that he's the new skipper.
But you know what I love about him? I don't know. This is a little, you know, baseball minutia. You were playing. I don't expect you to necessarily remember this, but Rocco Baldelli was like an uber prospect coming up with the Rays.
I don't remember that at all.
I heard a lot of people, a lot of old timers. This is going to sound ridiculous.
Was he a catcher?
No, he's an outfielder.
Everybody's catchers that are great managers. AJ Hinch.
Right. Joe Girardi for a long time. Sure, I got you.
Awesomeness. Bochy
yesterday. Catcher.
Yep. I mean, Bochy, exactly.
No, he was an outfielder. Baldelli was an outfielder. And I remember when he first came up, he had a, you know, because he was pretty graceful, and he had some pop, and yeah, this is going to sound, again, crazy, but a lot of people, some of the old-timers compared him to Joe DiMaggio, which is a real odd one because it was 50 years before Baldelli even played. But my point is, I think that Baldelli is a perfect mixture of baseball in the fact that he was a top prospect, mm-hmm. so he knows the pressure of that.
Yep.
He lost his way. He had... Oh, Mike, what did he get? This came up. What? Just look this up if you can, please. He had...
like a health issue?
Yeah, what is the whole...
Oh, vertigo?
Vertigo. Yeah. It was a vertigo-based or vertigo-like where the depth perception's compromised. Yeah. Nick Asaski had this back in the day. He was a hitter.
Basically, you feel confused all the time.
Imagine trying to hit a slider. You can't even catch
depth of it.
Unbalanced
all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't play like that. So he was a great prospect. He had some success in the majors. And then he really lost his way, and you know, not by his own doing, his health really eroded. But my point is that somebody like Rocco Baldelli is the perfect baseball mind because he's seen it all.
Yeah.
And he could relate to everybody.
Technically, it was mitochondrial canalopathy.
Okay.
Which I guess presents like vertigo.
I mean,
whatever. Yeah, but you're right. And look at him right now. I mean, this team, and I mentioned this to Jonathan, and obviously Jonathan was a part of this. Like, they were on a roller coaster, man, this Minnesota Twins team. It was you make the postseason and you miss it. All of a sudden, Paul Molitor, you get into the wild card game. Yeah, this they're going somewhere right mm-hmm. now. And then he's sub .500 and gets fired. I remember it was surprising when he got fired last year. But he'd been there for a minute, and it was time for a change.
Was he there 3 years?
I want to say four.
I think it wasn't more than four. Yeah. I thought it was three, but it could have been four. I thought it was three.
Whatever it was, it felt sudden.
Right? I agree with you.
And you think, man, Minnesota's going to take a step back because they're cutting bait too quickly. But Baldelli's done an unbelievable job with this team. Some of it is some new additions, but I think it was in part an embracing of the analytics side of baseball. And instead of constantly coaching to be good, you know, concise, well-rounded hitters, dude, if you get the right matchup, swing for the fence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Let's play the analytics game.
Yeah.
And it's working for him.
Yeah. It was 4 years, by the way, not three. You were right. It was four. Berrios is a good top of the rotation guy. You know, the Twins, their history is their baseball history is real. And I don't mean going back to Oliva and the great Rod Crew.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, past that. I mean, that was as good as it gets, basically. But even, you know, I mentioned Puckett and Herbeck. But, like, the Yankees seemingly knocked the Twins out of the playoffs every single year when they had a young Joe Mauer, a Johan mm-hmm. Santana. Like, they had a lot of good players. And then they hit this swoon, and they lost 100-plus games 1 year with Molitor. It took them a little bit to find their way, but I think what they have now is a pretty sustainable model. They have a lot of young players. Even Scope is only 27, so it seems like they have the right mixture of ascending players and some guys who are obviously established. Twins can be around for a little bit. Twins have a nice roster.
I agree with you.
All right, T, coming up next, we got to finish up with hoops. Next two segments, all basketball. Would you allow, if you're the Warriors tonight, you know it's at stake, game three, tied up at one, okay, would you allow Klay Thompson the freedom to dictate whether or not he plays? Or would you be, you know, maybe motivated to get in his way and prevent him from further injuring himself, which would obviously compromise him a couple of games deeper in the series? Teek and I will get back to that. What does Kawhi do tonight? All that stuff coming up. CBS Sports Radio, Teek and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Teeky and Tierney, CBS Sports Ready, CBS Sports Radio getting ready to jump back into the hoops here. But first, time now for Unexpected Play, sponsored by Exxon Mobil. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. Exxon Mobil, working to make it happen. That's the unexpected energy of Exxon Mobil. Hey, Giants backup catcher Stephen Vogt came into yesterday's game, not exactly mashing, and he played the Mets, just three RBIs and 51 ABs. However, he nearly doubled that in one at bat in the 10th with a big one, two-run double that sealed the win for the Giants. The Giants went on to win 9-3. It got ugly. Met fans were chirping locally today, not happy, and rightfully so, as the future Hall of Fame skipper for the Giants, Bruce Bochy, picks up his 1,000th win as the Giants manager. Don't forget, he's with the Padres as well. Did some pretty good things there. Took him to the World Series, got swept by the Yankees in 98. But Bochy is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's going to retire this year, after this season.
Those knees
right?
a shot. He's got some bum knees, Bruce. Great manager. Physically, great guy, too.
Yeah, physically. He sounds like a manager. He sounds like
a TV manager
right? Or a movie manager.
He does.
He really is.
You just think of a cigar, whiskey, and, you know, hey, sitting in the dugout with a big old mustache and maybe a little chew.
Yeah, they're
barking out some curses.
They're in a rebuild.
Bum kneader.
Who do you think is going to fill that role?
I would think they would go really young. Yeah. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Because their roster isn't anywhere near, like, they're bad.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for the Mad Bum, Madison Bumgarner shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Has it yet?
It's going to.
It's going to,
I think
though,
they're
going
to trade him. I definitely think so.
Especially if they're going to go young, obviously, team, but then young Skip, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't fit, right? It doesn't fit.
I don't think
it sucks.
Teak.
It sucks because Mad Bum, he's the man. But it just doesn't fit. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you draw it up in your dreams, you know?
They got three World Series.
True, but I'm talking about Madison Bumgarner. I mean, three Worlds. He's an icon, man. He's like
he's a postseason icon for sure. He's a He's a giant icon.
You want to be there your whole career.
Uh-huh.
It's just not going to happen for him.
Well, I think he's got a no trade. So I believe
I didn't know that he did.
Because he had to put a list of. I'm almost positive he's got a no trade.
Was that him or was that some?
They're going to check this. I think he does. But, you know, it's crazy, and we'll get back to hoops here. But those championship teams, you know, Hunter Pence is gone. Mm-hmm. Brandon Belt's not a kid anymore.
Right.
Brandon Crawford, their shortstop, not a kid. You know, a lot of those Posey's not a kid. He's had a couple of concussions. He had another one earlier about 2-3 weeks ago. So, you know, it's, you know, Tim Lincecum's long gone. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Cain. I mean, it's over, obviously, you know. Sergio Romo's not there anymore. Brian Wilson's long gone.
Spot starter, even though he's not with the Tampa Bay Rays anymore. Those spot starts that he got down there. That was actually pretty fun. That was actually really fun to watch.
Sergio slider?
They're still doing
filthy.
He's still doing that.
Are you talking about with the Rays doing or Sergio's actual slider?
Well,
it's like a frisbee.
It is.
And it's slow.
And he's a little dude, too.
He's not big at all. I've been around him. He's not a big dude.
No.
That slider's filthy.
Yep.
You know it's coming, and it's like 84 miles an hour, and it's still really tough to square up. Mike, does he have a no trade? I believe Mad Bum. I know Posey has a no trade with that deal. Does Mad Bum have a no trade? I think he does, right?
He has a no trade to eight different
teams.
It's not like these eight teams are you know, the crappy teams that mm-hmm. no one wants to go to.
Yeah.
It's the Braves, Red Sox, Cubs, Astros, Brewers, Yankees, Phillies, and Cardinals.
It's all strategic. That's why he did that, because what he's saying is he knows one of those teams, in theory, will be pursuing him, and now this gives him the ability to say, no, I want to play. I don't want to go to Boston. I don't like, you know, the Green Monster. Whatever. It doesn't fit my pitching style.
But
he
can obviously waive that, right?
Of course he could. 100%. 100% he could. And I believe that he will. We'll see. But, the Giants, I would think that they'd probably go young. But you never know. They're a well-run team. They'll mm-hmm. find their way eventually. Just like the Warriors. Same city.
Oh, they found their
well-run
way
Well-run team.
They found their way.
I know.
Battling injuries. Stole a game on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Something they haven't had to do to start a series in their entire run. But the question is, you know, that we ask all day long, is Klay Thompson going to play? Now, they should have had their shoot-around already.
Probably. They would have had their morning shoot-around.
Yeah.
Oh, they would have that. Yeah, in the morning they would have that. It's only 2:26 local time there for a 6 o'clock game. Klay's definitely in the building.
Yeah.
He's getting treatment, whether it's the stim, whether it's a rub-down, whether it's a needle. I don't know exactly what that entails, but Klay Thompson's at Oracle right now, for sure.
Yeah, no updates yet that we've heard about what the plan is from Steve Kerr, but I did this for my Sportsman an hour ago, BT.
Yep.
We talked about this at the top of the show. Nick Nurse played a box and won. You don't see this.
Love it.
And it's nonsense, but it is what it is, and it worked.
But why is it nonsense? Why?
Because
see, to me, the shift is nonsense. Why is a box and one nonsense?
Because it's a beatable, it's a so easily beatable
defense. Well, then why did they score a basket off of it?
In the NBA. And that's what because you haven't seen it since you're in high school. And when was the last time any of those guys played against
the
Boston.
Let me put it this way. I've done St. John's basketball for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen them play a boxing
that's
one
in college.
That's
in college.
No,
right.
I hear you. It's rare.
And so I don't – look, Steve Kerr is going to have an answer. I put that in quotes. He's going to have an answer for the boxing one if it happens. But the fact that he's got to prepare for the boxing one mm-hmm. because it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Nurse's scheme in the fourth quarter, third and fourth quarters, it worked on Steph Curry. He didn't score a point.
No field goals.
In the fourth quarter. And it wasn't for Andre Iguodala. Toronto might find a way to win that game, to be honest with you. So
Steph with the tee, got teed up late.
You're right. If anything, Nick Nurse, even if it was accidental or just a Hail Mary to try to get back in the game too, he's forced Steve Kerr to focus on something that Steve Kerr doesn't have time to focus on.
Let me stop you for 1 second. I agree with that, and I certainly want you to pick that back up. But I don't think you're giving Nick Nurse enough credit. When you say maybe it was accidental, that was too brilliant to be accidental.
No, not in game. I'm talking about what happens downstream. What's accidentally happening downstream is that Steve Kerr now has to prepare for the boxing one, which he needs to be spending his time. All right, who's getting minutes here?
Yeah, the minute distribution is huge tonight.
If XYZ lineup gets shut down and they go on a 10-0 run, what substitution am I making? It's not like you can just say, hey, Clay, get back in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or KD, take over for 6 minutes now.
You know what? All shots feed through KD in the wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Find your spot, KD. You get this done. We need 15 points real quick.
Right? Yep.
There's no option. So Steve Kerr has to really focus on, wait, is Jarebko going to be somewhat viable at any point?
I think Jarebko's a pretty decent player.
He was bad in the first half.
Only played 6 minutes, too, the other night. But he's going to hit some shots if he plays.
When do I put in Bogut, right? Is Quinn Cook going to knock down shots like he did in the second half, or is he going to be over like he was in the first half?
Which Cook shows up.
Right? Yeah. All of these things, Steve Kerr has to now, jot down on his notepad as he's preparing for this game. And all right, Steph, this is how you beat the Bucks.
Yeah, that's the other thing that we kind of gloss over. We could talk about minute distribution, and I'm glad you brought that up. It's a real thing. It's paramount. I mean, Steve's got to, and I want to throw something by you about that in a second. But, you know, it's non-negotiable. No matter what, Steph Curry must play brilliant tonight.
Right.
Like, he's got to be amazing.
Yeah,
he has to be.
We can't have the, I'm dehydrated, or I might have the flu, or I'm sick.
Or I'm 1-for-8 for whatever reason.
I know.
But he's had a lot of games like that this year.
He has. But for the most part, sans KD, he's done his job.
But think about game 6 against the Rockets. He had no points in the first half.
Yeah.
Remember that? He had the early fouls. They put him on the bench. They came back. They won the game in Houston, the Friday night game where
they
moved on.
That's right.
You can't. I'm just saying that. I mean, that's factually that happened. I'm not saying that Steph is not a superstar. He's great, but it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
He must be great tonight.
He's got to be on from jump. Who has more pressure here? Is it Steph to rise up and be that guy?
Uh-huh.
Because they're home, right? This is supposed to be their domain.
Uh-huh.
All their runs that they've dominated at home. Or is it on Kawhi on the other side of this? Because, look, they've been trapping him. They've been doing all kinds of really innovative, or at least effective. I won't say innovative because we know what it was. But effective schemes against Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
But now Clay is out, right?
Well, we think. We that hasn't been confirmed yet.
True.
Clay, I'm just saying, somebody just tuned in and they heard Clay's out.
Clay is compromised.
Hey, there you go.
Clay is compromised. Even if he plays or KD is out, right?
Looney is out.
Isn't it? Looney's got broken collarbone. He's done for the series.
Yep.
Isn't it more pressure? And I think it is.
Go ahead.
On Kawhi.
Yes.
To finally have that game.
He has to play
and
well.
And he hasn't had one yet.
Listen,
and
it's huge. He's got
to
play
his credit,
well.
He's helped. He's facilitated. They weren't realists. They were hockey assists he was getting. But he was helping his teammates play good basketball. But how does he – he's got to play like Kawhi Leonard, the MVP that we've been talking about for most of the playoffs so far.
100% agree. 100% agree. I can't imagine – you know, I said this in the first hour. I don't believe that, not just the Raptors, but, maybe I can't think of a team that's on the cusp of a championship, 3 wins away from a championship, against a dynasty, get handed more of a gift from the basketball gods than the Raptors are receiving tonight. Even if Clay plays, he's going to be compromised. You know, and you talk about the minute distribution before, right? And I'm sure he's plotting this out, and he's going to have 2 or 3 different variations based on score and time and other scenarios that, Steve Kerr is thinking about 5 different possibilities. He's not just married to one concept here. But you look at the minutes from the previous game. Let's say Clay doesn't play and I've said many times today and yesterday, he should not. I would not play him. Let's just assume he doesn't play for a moment. That's 32 minutes he played the other night.
Yeah.
And Looney played 10. The heck is that? Didn't even hit anything there. That just went off. That was weird. So Looney with 10. 42 minutes right there. Now, who's going to bear the brunt? Draymond already played 41.
Yep.
Steph already played 41. So maybe they play 43 or 44. And God forbid, well, not God forbid, but from a basketball point of view, could you imagine if Iguodala tweaks his leg again?
Yeah.
Because he played 30 minutes the other night.
I know it.
So, I mean, Jarepko played 6. Jarepko might have, excuse me, might have to give you 15 to 18. Livingston played 16. He might have to give you 20. Bogut played 7. He might have to give you 15. I mean, whatever script you think this game will follow tonight, there's a pretty good chance it won't. It will be something different, which makes it really interesting.
I agree with you.
All right, 855-212-4227. Would you play Clay? Would you play him? If it's game 6, tape it up, shoot him up, get out there, play. Game 3, I believe that the more prudent move is to sit him, and I believe Tiki is half with me and half not. That old athletic mindset coming through.
I want to see
respect
him on the court, but we obviously won't see him before the show is over.
That's true. Axe update is right now. Unfortunately, we have to see him. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. We'll take some calls. We'll update the poll question on Twitter, which is about Clay and what you would do after Axe update right now. Some baseball going on. Here's Rich. Okay, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go... Jimmy Bush at Jimmy Boo 954-336-07. Got enough numbers there, Jimmy. All right, guys. With the Major League Baseball draft coming to an end, do you believe that Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell will be signed by week's end? I do.
Yeah.
And listen, I said a couple of months ago I really thought that Keuchel would be a Yankee. I still believe that. I believe the Braves are real competition. Kimbrell, I have less of a sense where he might go. Kimbrell did say that he would shave the beard, that he's open to that. If he goes to the Yankees, they have no facial hair rule. I know that he's trying to get a multi-year deal, which is not, which is a little bit of a different twist from his reps, which I have no problem with. He was amenable to a one-year deal to start, but now they're trying to get that second or third year. We'll see. But yeah, I would think by week's end, going into the weekend, yeah, I would think so too.
I would as well, too. I mean, these guys are too good to be not on a roster helping some of these teams that are pushing or, you know, securely in the playoff hunt, even though it's early in the season, get better. So, definitely.
There you go. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. We had Dallas Keuchel's old manager on earlier, second hour, 4:20-ish, 4:25 Eastern, A.J. Hinch. We asked him about this, and it's one of the things that I think is just utterly unfair. I mean, you know, I could see if he's 37, 38, languishing, tail end, clearly woofully diminished stuff. He's not the same guy who won the Cy Young 4 years ago. I'm not saying he is, but he gave you 200 innings, and he knows how to win.
Yeah.
And there's value
and
there.
That's the biggest thing. He knows how to win.
Yeah,
he's not going to blow you away, but he's reliable. You have to respect that. Both these guys that are free, Kimbrel and Keuchel, they're World Series champions for reasons.
No question. All right, I got 4 questions. I want to go all around the rooms with D-Cell Santer. Get ready to fire up the mic. Teak, obviously, you and I will answer these as well. There's one question there. Let's see here. And actually, 3 questions. All right, D-Cell, I'm going to ask him in succession. 3 questions you, 3 questions Santer, and boom, boom, boom. Question number 1, yes or no? Will Clay play tonight? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Will Kawhi exceed 40? Yes or no?
No.
Will the Raptors win?
No.
Okay. Santer, will Clay play tonight?
I just agree with everything that D-Cell says.
So Clay will not play, Kawhi will go bonkers, and the Raptors will win. Okay,
correct.
Interesting. Teak, will Clay Thompson, let's get ourselves on the record, we've talked about it all day, will Clay play, yes or no?
Yes.
Will Kawhi go for 40 or more?
Yes.
Oh. Will the Raptors or the Warriors win?
The Warriors.
Going to go with the Warriors.
I am. Okay. Put my faith in Steve Kerr.
Okay. I don't think Clay's going to play tonight. I think that sensibility is going to win out. And I think they're going to – I know he is – right now he's probably sitting – I'm good. I'd put him on ice for one game. And you hate to be so – you know, carefree. Well, we can sacrifice game. Yeah. It's the finals. You don't want to sacrifice a minute, let alone a game. I get that. But for the greater good, I would not play him. I do not think he will play. Because I do not think he will play, I believe Kawhi goes for over 40. But here's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the Raptors win.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors find a way in a tight one. I already had the Raptors plus +5.
Yeah.
I already took that. That's done. But I do believe the Warriors won a tight one.
Here's the thing.
But the Raps cover.
We know Siakam played great in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not the same influence when he wasn't in fast break mode the whole time.
True.
Right? Now he's on the road as a young player and out in Oracle. He's going to have a different game. Kyle Lowry, he's okay at times, but he's not really a scorer. Kawhi could score 50, mm-hmm. and they still might lose this game. So,
Danny Green's got to bang in a few triples.
Exactly.
Gasol's got to play
basically, the role players got to be like they were in game one.
Freddie Van Vliet, do his thing, knock down a couple shots, maybe spot shadow Steph if they deploy the box in one again, which would be sweet. All right, you ready for the blast here, T?
I am.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. So the Pats lose another tight end. They cut our buddy Austin Seferian Jenkins, who we've had on the show in studio. Good guy. Seems like he's battling some things, though. They cut him on the first day of camp. He's dealing with some personal issues. What should they do at tight end right now?
Yeah, they have Steven Anderson, Matt Lacoste, no names you know. Gronk has reiterated that he's not coming out of retirement. Jermaine Gresham is still available. He's a little bit older, though. He's in Arizona last year. Basically, there's not a lot of options unless they want to trade for one of these young kids that was drafted either 2 years ago, because they won't trade a kid that was just drafted this year that didn't quite pan out, or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's some old names around, but they're kind of stuck.
Nah, there's not much they can do at this
point. No, there's not much they can do. What they can do is scheme it, though, where the tight end is not as important, and you put a tall wide receiver in that slot that the tight end usually lives in.
Occupies.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, at some point, this is going to expire. At some point, eventually, they're going to go 8-8, 9-7.
Yep.
Brady's going to be gone. Belichick's going to take, not heat, but he's going to be questioned, you know, did he lose his touch? He hasn't lost it yet, and what he's going to do is he's going to coach around it.
Yeah.
This is what they do. Josh McDaniels. So, yeah, I mean, is it going to be a conventional team, like, past Pats teams? No. But they've got a big stable of running backs. They drafted some wide receivers. Just play differently, and they'll probably play well. The Lakers. Hey! I mean, who else are they going to add to the staff?
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy's going to come in maybe bring Stan as a consultant. How many head coaches do you need?
A lot.
They
apparently
got a lot. Here's another one. This guy's good, too. Lionel Hollins. They add him to the staff. So they make Jason Kidd the highest-paid assistant in the NBA. They bring in the winningest coach in Memphis Grizzlies history. Did a decent job with the Nets as well. I mean, Lionel Hollins is a good coach. Is it good to have such an experienced staff or too many voices? Okay, I got to tell you.
It's interesting.
Yes, it's the short view says this is a dangerous recipe. All right, but the broader scope, this is a smart move. Because Lionel Hollins is at a very different place in his career.
Right.
He's 65 years of age.
Right.
Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel are still aspiring to be longtime successful NBA head coaches. That guy will prove to be the sage voice in the room, and like the older brother who could beat you up, those two guys will respect Lionel Hollins when he weighs in. I actually like this.
Yeah, this is a good move, I think, by the Lakers. The thing that you worry about, though, is do Jason Kidd and Frank Vogel start competing for his attention, so to speak? I like it this way, right? This is the right way to do this, right, Lionel?
I see.
You know what I mean?
Kind of kiss up to him a little bit.
Yeah, in an effort to undermine the other guy. Because, look, we know why Jason Kidd's on the staff. They can't hire him to be that coach. They want him to be that, but they can't hire him to be that coach because of some of the issues in his past. This, I like it, but he could be both sides to the middle. He could be the middle guy.
No. This guy's the worst in baseball. Angel Hernandez, he's terrible. I mean, I don't know how this guy has a job. He's just he's a horrendous ump. I mean, just go on social media, he missed 4 strikes, 2 of them.
Yeah.
They're right down the middle, Angel Hernandez. So this was in 1 inning. He missed 4 pitches during the Yankees-Blue Jays game. Does Major League Baseball or as Santer would say, does the MLB and the ump union, the umpires union, need to get rid of him?
I mean, take him out from behind the plate. Seriously.
Just throw him at third
yeah,
base.
Whatever.
Not even at first base.
Whatever.
Big plays at first base.
There's many ways in which umpires call strikes. Sometimes it's, where's the catcher sitting? And that's the excuse they use for one of the strikes that they missed. Mashiro Tanaka was on the mound. Sanchez set up inside.
Yep.
Tanaka missed the spot by a long way, but it was still a strike.
Borderline on the outside. I didn't think that was as down the middle as some of the other ones.
Yeah, but it was close enough.
Yeah, it was close.
It's a strike.
Yeah.
And so as an ump, you move where the catcher goes.
Sure.
Right? And so you're not actually at the right angle to see the strike. So if you're sitting on the outside, the inside of the plate, because it's the right-handed batter,
mm-hmm.
and the ball is thrown for a strike, but it looks from your angle outside,
yeah.
I can understand why you missed it.
No, stop. Don't give him that excuse. Man, they're Major League umpires. This is a little league where a 7-year-old's playing. I mean, come on. It's a Major League umpire. Shift.
I already told you.
Shift.
Put him on third.
Put him on third or put him out to pasture. I mean, I hate to be so blunt. He's terrible, and he's been terrible for a long time.
But he's got a lawsuit against him, doesn't he?
Whatever. Here's the other thing, too. You know, Major League pitchers, whether it's Tanaka or somebody else, if you miss your spot by a half a foot, you should not be rewarded with the strike. If Sanchez is setting up on the inside, which he was, you're right, and you hit the other part of home plate, and it's a borderline strike at that, I can't give you a strike. But his history doesn't allow us to defend him because there's a multitude of misses every time he ups.
Just keep watching this over and over. It's clearly a strike. Now, the box doesn't always tell everything. But
nice. Buzz him, that a boy. Buzz him.
Dang.
Just buzz him once more. Come on. Give him the buzz. Buzz him. All right. Pirates announcer Steve Bless, he keeps going back to this. He rips Ronald Acuna for wearing gold chains and playing with them during his at-bat. Or players getting too eccentric at the plate. You know, I think, first of all, if your answer to that is yes, then you're suffering from real recency bias.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Henderson made it a one-man show. Dave Winfield would, you know, big 6'6", big Dave, would, you know, with his legs, he would flip the bat, he would go upside down and bang out the dirt from his spikes.
Nomar was that way,
too. Nomar with his gloves.
Like, over and over and over and over and over again.
Yep. The histrionics have been a long part of the game. Reggie Jackson was very much... They didn't do this in the 60s because they would drill you in the temple, which is a little nuts, actually. But in the 70s, it started, and it's not stopping. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the thing is, I think Steve Blass, who used to be a pitcher, he's giving it from his... Just get in the damn box already.
I understand, sure.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you can't rip a guy for wearing gold chains. I mean, Clint Frazier had a gold chain.
I used to rock the gold when I was playing. Love the gold chains.
It's like the first purchase you get when you make it.
Yeah.
Quote unquote, make it.
That's right. Yeah. All right, what is this here? Hank Haney doubles down on his LPGA talk after the. Remember this story last week?
Yeah.
So LPGA, the Korean, won. He fires back at Twitter.
Yeah.
On Twitter at Tiger a little bit. And he says, quote, amazing how Tiger Woods has now become the moral authority on issues pertaining to women.
That's a direct quote. It's a good comeback, though.
It is a pretty, I don't disagree. Has Haney lost all credibility?
I don't think he's lost credibility, even though he did say something idiotic when he came back and said, see, I told you, a Korean won after the LPGA event. I forgot where that event was. It was a championship, right? Was that the LPGA championship? The U.S. Open, that's right. He hasn't lost credibility because, as we talked about, BT, I don't think he was trying to be malicious. I think the ambiguity of his statement left too much open for interpretation.
Yep.
But I do like his comeback, his clapback at Tiger, so to speak.
It was very strong. It was very strong. Listen, anybody who watches the Golf Channel, obviously, you'll love watching the PGA. If you watch a European event or you watch the women play, the leaderboards, there are a scarce amount of Americans, and most of them are Koreans.
Yeah, and we looked this up after the show, BT, last week, whenever it was. I forget, she finished like fifth or sixth.
Mm-hmm.
There's a female on the tour with LPGA Tour. Her last name is Lee, and it's literally the number six. And so we're like, why is that? Why is there a six on the end of her name? Because in the Asian Tour,
okay,
there are there are like 12 Lees.
So there's Lee 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
But it's the exact same name. So first name, or I guess last and first name are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And so on the international tour, they have to put a 6.
To distinguish.
To distinguish the other 5 or 6 that there are. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they persist for the American tour as well. That's why it was sitting there.
Okay.
That's why he said that.
I understand. Like, I know it certainly was. It had elements of insensitivity for sure.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be
funny. He was trying to be funny because he probably knew that there were that many exact same names, Lees, on their women golfers. Warriors, 5.
I just want a good game. I want to see something special tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Enjoy the game. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.